Thanks for joining us for another great message from Influencers Church Australia. We hope it inspires you, encourages you, blesses you, and brings you joy. For more information about our church, go online to influencers.church. And now for our message.
And I've got a great word for everybody. Really got a great word. I remember being on a houseboat holiday. Who's ever been on a houseboat? Anyone been on a houseboat? Well, I remember being on a houseboat holiday many years ago. It was our family loved the river. We just love going to the Murray River, brown and everything, but we love going to the river. And I remember going on this houseboat holiday, and I was lying in bed, and of course beds in houseboats aren't that big, right? They're pretty compact. And so I remember waking up, you know, kind of all through the night. I had this kind of dream sequence thing going on that I was trying to get up the bed. It was like I was climbing a mountain. The bed was like a mountain, and I had these kind of dream sequences going on. And as I got closer to the waking hour, I could kind of drift into a little bit of consciousness, and felt like I really was climbing a mountain. And then when I woke up, I suddenly realized that the houseboat, the water had receded overnight, and the houseboat was lodged up like this. And so I really was rolling, trying to roll up a hill to try to get to the middle of the bed. It kind of stuck. I don't know if you've ever been stuck in the corner of a bed when it's tilted like this, but I can promise you it's hard to get to the middle. And here I was, just in my whole night was just stuck, just trying to get out of that position. So, of course, we tried to reverse the houseboat out, but it was genuinely stuck on the bank. So we had a ski boat that was tied to the back, and so we tried everything. We tried to put everybody to the back of the boat. People thought that if I got to the back of the boat, that would loosen the front because of the weight in me. And then so that didn't work. So we actually got the speedboat out, and we tied a giant rope from the boat to the speedboat, and we tried to pull the boat off the bank with a speedboat. But if you know anything about physics, what happens is when the rope gets tight, what happens is the thing that's unmovable pulls the other thing back and down. So as we pulled off the boat, the ski boat started to sink, and of course, we stopped doing that and tried some other methods to get off that bank. And finally, once we moved past the giant from the front, the boat moved off the bank. So my question to you is tonight is this. Are you stuck? Are you stuck? You see, I believe lots of us feel stuck, whether we've reached the end of a chapter and we're stuck, whether we're in a marriage and we're stuck, or whether we're in our job and we feel stuck, or whether we're in a payment cycle of mortgage payments and bills and we feel stuck. And, you know, whether you're here or you're listening at Roswell today, you may be in a place where you're stuck. And so today's message, I believe, is going to help you get off the bank. It's going to help you prise loose in your life so that you can get moving, because it's not comfortable to be stuck. It's not a good place to feel stuck. It's not enjoyable to feel wedged into a particular way of thinking, living, or surviving, and feel like you can't get out. Someone described to me one day what prosperity is, and prosperity is having choices. It's the ability to make decisions, and when you don't have those that prosperity in your soul, you're kind of stuck, because when you're stuck, you don't have many choices. And I want to talk to you today about that, because you may be stuck in your health. Your health doesn't seem to be getting better, and life doesn't seem to be moving forward. You're finding yourself stuck. And I want to talk to you about how to get unstuck tonight. And today, as you're watching Roswell, God wants to get you unstuck. Why? Because he's got a great purpose for your life. And one of the mechanisms that God uses that I want to explain to you today is the mechanism of dreams. Whether you're a young person, because often we think of young people with dreams, or whether you're an older person with dreams, dreams are God's way to get you off the bank of life and powering down the river of your destiny. And I want to talk to you about that, because when God gives you a dream, it stops the wheels from spinning and you not going anywhere. It kind of pushes momentum into your life. And so I want to talk to you about dreams. You see, I remember when I was 15 years of age, some of you guys are 15 years of age, I was selling newspapers on Grand Junction Road back in the days when we sold newspapers on roads and people stopped by and gave tips to the young kids that were selling them. And I was filling in for a friend at school, and I was wondering about my life. You know, I had come to Australia 10 years earlier and I was wondering about my life. I was kind of a deep thinker as a teenager. What's life all about? What are these questions? What are the answers to those questions? And then it was 3 weeks later, I'm walking on the way to school. And as I'm walking on the way to school over here at Gillis Plains, I suddenly have a dream, like it's just a daydream. It's not like I go into some kind of trance. I'm just having a daydream. Who's ever daydreamed before? Put up your hand if you've ever daydreamed. If you're watching at Roswell, have you ever daydreamed? Where you're just going along, you're sitting at some traffic lights, right? And if you're in Adelaide, you sit at a lot of traffic lights really often, right? In fact, when you're driving on the road, you feel like you're at a traffic light even though you're moving, because it's so slow. 40 kilometers an hour is like, are you joking me? What has happened? Last night I was driving up to Pastor Josh's house to watch the football, and it was on Main Northeast Road. It was, you know, and I'm going up the line, I'm thinking, what is wrong with everybody? Everybody's been scared down to 40 kilometers an hour. The speed limit's 60, but everybody's sitting on about 48. And I'm like, really? Is this what's really happened to all of us? Anyway, that's another side story. But I just think rebel against the system. That's what I feel in my heart. Anyway, my point is daydreaming. So who's ever had a daydream, right? You're just daydreaming about the future. It might be about the girl you want to marry, Gillian. It might be about the guy you want to marry. It might be about the job that you want. It might be about the life that you desire. It might be about the answer to the questions that don't seem answered in your life. And the daydream is often, you know, kind of dismissed as something not important. It was just a moment where I just drifted off. But often daydreams are God's ways of getting our attention about our future. It's the way He allows us to delve into our spirit and into our soul about what our heart desires. And I remember walking to school and I remember seeing myself preaching in front of thousands of people. Now, I'm a 15-year-old. Remember this. I'm a 15-year-old. So this is quite an interesting moment, because it's not kind of on my radar. Football is on my radar. And girls are on my radar, but not preaching on my radar. But I'm walking to school, and I start to dream about preaching. And of course, you know, that dream has come true, and I live in that dream. But what happened to my life when I had that daydream was it got me off the bank. It did something to me that made me start to wonder what it was that was enticing me to come forward rather than staying in my zone. Because one of the great, great challenges of life is not only to get stuck, the second great challenge is that we drift. That all we do is kind of meander and get nowhere fast. We kind of drift. And so God wants to give you a dream, because dreams are the way that pushes you forward out of your circumstances and the mindsets of your life. It's a dream that entices you to leave behind the way you've thought for a very long time and the way you were brought up and your philosophies and your culture. It's a dream that pulls you out of that bank. And I want to talk to you about it tonight, because I remember after I got that dream, it propelled me forward, but then I got stuck again. You see, some people here that you're either at Roswell or you're here today, and you had a dream and it got you going, but then you got stuck again. And I remember getting sick after I was in the middle of fulfilling this dream, and I got sick, and for 18 months I was ill, and it culminated in me not being able to work. And I'd had dreams, but all of it seemed to be gone. I felt like I was going to lose it all. I was burnt out and had almost lost everything. And as I sat under the ministry of God's word on a day like today, it was a moment like now, God used what was being said and what I was reading to begin to prompt me to dream again. And I remember it was in 1994 on 1st of May, around that date, I read it in my Bible, And I was sitting in church and thinking about my life, and God gave me that scripture in Psalm 128. You've heard me share it before. And Roswell, you probably haven't, but this psalm has been a dream fulfiller for my life, a dream director, a rudder for my thinking, my actions, my plans. And it says in Psalm 128, verse 1, "Blessed are those who fear the Lord, who walk in obedience to Him. You will eat the fruit of your labor. Blessing and prosperity will be yours. Your wife will be like a fruitful vine within your house. Your children will be like olive shoots around your table. Yes, this will be the blessing for the man who fears the Lord." Well, I can tell you that that got me unstuck too. That I had to go through a period where it was difficult to get off the bank, but it provided the impetus for me to move forward again, because every time I get stuck, God's got a dream for me to pull me out of my lack of momentum and my lack of moving forward. There's something that God wants to speak to you, and today I believe He wants to get you motivated and moving forward. And I want to look at the most famous dreamer in history. His name is Joseph. We know the story well. And he dreamt a dream as a teenager. He had a dream as a 17-year-old about his future. It was like one of those days where God showed him in a number of dreams what the future, it seemed cryptic. It wasn't quite clear to everybody, but there were dreams that began to propel the life of Joseph. And so what happens is that as a 17-year-old, Joseph has a God dream, but then, as happens with dreams, life gets complicated. Straight after his dream, life gets complicated. He just started moving forward and life gets complicated. And now the people that are supposed to love him reject him. And now he's in this whole tumult of being rejected and discarded. And the dream that sort of gave him the drive to believe for a future is now kind of left at the side of the road, because everything's up and down and topsy-turvy. And now life isn't as simple as it was before. Now it's very complicated, and he has to go through 13 years where he wonders. One day he's moving forward, the next day he's moving back. He's struggling in this cycle of, it seems like he's advancing, but then he's going back, all the while in the midst of this contradiction of a dream, but rejection and prevention happening against that dream. But because Joseph has a dream, he begins to rise to the top, even once he's got to the bottom. Even though he's put in the bottom of a well, it's the beginning of Joseph rising. Even though he's put at the bottom of a prison, it's the beginning of Joseph rising. Because when God's with you, and it says the Lord was with Joseph, and everything he did prospered. It didn't mean that it looked fantastic on the outside, but God was even making his prison a place of prosperity. He was making the place of slavery a place of prosperity. He was making the place of inability to move forward still a place of blessing, because that's what dreams do when God's in your dream. You see, whether you're watching at Roswell today, you know, God's got a great dream for that campus where you are today with Pastor Arnold and Anika. And I want to tell you, God wants you to get hold of a dream. Tonight, God wants you to get hold of a dream. Why? Because there's energy and fuel in the dream. I know we've heard it before. I know we've sensed it before, but I want to take you a little bit deeper. You see, most of our problems with unfulfilled dreams, you see, when I talk to people, what I hear from most people is, I'm living, hoping still for my dream, but it's still unfulfilled. Most people I talk to aren't living in the fulfillment of their dream, they're living in the waiting season of their dream. And I want to talk to you tonight about how to recognize what God's doing and how to know who the father of your dream is, because sometimes the dreams that we have are just wishful thinking. Sometimes the dreams are just daydreams. They're not dreams from God, but we are sometimes programmed by somebody telling us, I see this in your life, when we need to get from God the dream that He has for our life. You know, most of our problems with unfulfilled dreams is that we're like a 16-year-old girl who's pregnant. We're pregnant, but we don't know what to do with what we're going to get because we're only 16. And nobody, we've never been this way. We haven't had the maturity of life to teach us what to do with it. Getting the baby wasn't that hard. Raising it to be a man or a woman takes the knowledge and the skill. It's not hard really to get a dream. It is hard to birth it and nurture it and grow it and make it something magnificent and powerful. And most of us are like, many of us, I shouldn't say most of us, but many of us are like a 16-year-old pregnant girl who has something but doesn't know how to take it to the next level. Or we're like a boy getting a puppy, a 10-year-old boy getting a puppy. Getting it isn't hard, but maintaining the life of the puppy seems to be. It was easy to get the puppy on Christmas Day or for my birthday, but then feeding that puppy, giving water to that puppy and pointing at my son is much harder than just getting the puppy. And so sometimes the dream is so wonderful from a distance, but when we have to handle it and feed it and nurture it and clean up its poo from the lawn, and Pastor Josh's dog particularly has an affinity for grass with those things. And I remember, because I was there and I stepped in it just the other day. And the point is it's easy to get the dog. It's easy to get the child. It's hard to raise the child. It's easy to get a dream. It's just hard to nurture the dream. Hard to raise the dream. And I want to talk to you about that today, because I want to first of all show you how you know who the father is of your dream. Sometimes we have dreams, we don't know how it got there. And I want to talk to you about how to know who the father of your dream is. Number one, God's dreams in our lives always benefit God's people. They always benefit others. You know, God's dream for Joseph was intended to save God's people. It was intended to save his family. It's a good thing that Joseph knew how to forgive, because if he hadn't have learned how to forgive, then he wouldn't have been in the right place. He wouldn't have nurtured the dream properly, because in the beginning, with the birthing of the dream or the conception of the dream and the fulfillment of the dream, there's going to be contradictions. There's going to be rejections. There's going to be challenges. There's going to be moments where you don't think it can possibly happen, and you've got to know what to do. And of course, Joseph is in the middle of a pit, in the middle of a prison, and in the middle of being falsely accused. What does he do with the dream now? Can you imagine how you'd be filled with rage or fear or anxiety at being completely rejected and thrown and discarded and put aside by the family that's supposed to love you but couldn't handle the dream? So how do you handle the contradictions that come when you have a dream? Because it's easy to get the dream. It's harder to nurture and raise the dream to an adult. Till then, it's mature. But you see, God's dreams, how do you know he's the father of your dream? Is that God's dreams aren't about you, but they do benefit you. God's dreams aren't about you, but they do benefit you. And if the dream is just about you, then it was just you creating it, and therefore you have to nurture it. But when God creates the dream, and you know it's God, because it's going to benefit people of God, it's going to help people, it's going to help change the world, and it's going to help your life get better, then you know God's in the dream. Because God's dreams aren't about you and I, they're about others, but they do benefit you and I. Does that make sense? How can you tell the father? You can tell the father of the dream by the fact that it's not about you, but benefits you. You see, in the New Testament, the foremost thing on God's mind is the church, is the family of God. Is it no wonder God uses terms like family, terms like when you give your life to Jesus, it's called being born again. Why is those terms used? Why is the church called the family of God? Right? Why is he the father And why is Jesus the Son? And why are we members of God's family? Because God's language in the New Testament is about family. Everything about God's design and mindset is to nurture, nourish, and extend and expand His family. He wants more kids. He wants more children. And so the dream He gives us will always be about fulfilling God's dream too. God's dream in my life helps God achieve what God wants to do through my life, so it benefits others, but it benefits me. You see, as a mature dad, my dreams are about my kids. Parents, you understand that. You know, you go from thinking it's all about you to now, how can I see my children and their lives prosper? How can I see? You know, for me, it's about our campuses in Church World. How do I help Pastor Josh and John prosper? How do I help our Pastor Tony and Oster prosper? How do I help Pastor Arnold and Nika at Roswell Day prosper? You see, because when you're a dad, you think about the family, and when you understand that God's a father, understand that His dreams in you will always be about His family. That's why you need to take your next step in September, because His dreams are about you being used by Him to affect and build His family. And the more we become mature as Christians, the more we realize it's not about us, even though it will benefit us, but it's about God using us. Number two, how do you know God's the father of your dream and that you're not just in fantasy land? Number two, God's dreams really take you on a straight path between point A and point B. And if you're watching at Roswell today, God brought you into Roswell because God's got a plan for you. But here's the deal. Between where the dream started and where the dream ends, it's not a straight line. It's all over the place. It's like a plate of spaghetti, right? Which I had at lunch today. It was very nice. Like a plate of spaghetti, right? It's just all over the place, and so often we get disappointed because the dream should be a straight line, because that's the pop culture world of fantasy that we live in. Joseph's dreams didn't take him straight to the president's residence. He stopped at a deep well on his way. He stopped in a prison. He served others for years. It involved being mistreated but not losing faith. It involves sticking at it, even though when things were tough. Number three, how do you know it's God's dreams? Well, here's the thing that we need to know, is that God's dreams can't be stopped by anybody but you. That wife can't stop it. That husband can't stop it. Those kids can't stop it. The ex-wife can't stop it. And the situation at work can't stop it. None of those things can stop God's dreams, because they're God's dreams in your life. But you could stop those dreams, but nobody else can. Nobody can take away the woman of your dreams that God has for you, but you can let her go. You see, it's like this. Why would God promise me something that someone else can affect, infect, and reject? How can someone else affect my future if God's promised me? Because then I couldn't ever trust God about anything. Because His purpose is always subject to someone else's desires. No, His purpose is subject to our desires and our connection with Him. Only we can abort the dream. Nobody else can. You see, when Potiphar's wife tried to seduce him, Joseph could have wrecked the dream by sleeping with her, and then he would have wrecked the dream. But guess what? He didn't. And no matter what she did and accused him and he got chucked into jail, the dream had to be fulfilled, because it was God's dream in Joseph. And the Bible says, and God was with Joseph. Number four. God's dreams for us are always linked to the fulfillment of other people's dreams. You know, we're always wanting people to interpret our dreams, but God's path is that the fulfillment of our dream is linked in, locked in step with the interpreting of someone else's dream. And the fulfillment of Joseph's dream was no different. It involved interpreting Pharaoh's dream. And so when you realize that it's always interlocked, that I'm not an island and God doesn't give me a dream away from everybody else, it wasn't just for Joseph. It was Joseph then had to put that into action, and he had to realize, he had to interpret a Potiphar's dream, he had to interpret a prison warden's dream, he had to interpret a Pharaoh's dream. And as he interpreted those dreams, his own dream became a reality. So as I look at the life of Joseph, there are some things that I learned from Joseph's life that I'd like to teach you tonight. Just a couple of thoughts, just 2 points really, about what I learned from Joseph. And there are many, many things I could say, but for the time that we have, just 2 will do. And it's this: you have to give it your best shot. If you feel stuck, you got to get invigorated again by the dream, inspired again by the dream, and allow that to propel you forward. And then you've got to just give it your best shot. What does that mean? That means to position myself constantly, pray without ceasing, and fast in seasons of my life. It means to learn how God promotes. Learn God's psychology of fulfilling dreams. How does God do it? Have you even studied how God does it? You see, most people are thinking about this baby they're carrying, but not about how to raise it. They're thinking about that kind of side of things, but not about the next 10 years and the next 10 years and the next 10 years. What happens in the first 10 years of a dream? What happens in the second 10 years of a dream? What happens in the third decade of a dream? These are things that you can find the answers to, because there are patterns and there are strategies and there are ways that God does it. And so you've got to give it your best shot. Ask questions of people who have seen their dreams fulfilled. Ask questions, lean in. Say, well, how did it happen for you? Well, suddenly as you hear their story, you're filled with hope, because their story sounds a lot like yours. Oh, you mean you went through a season where you doubted? You mean you went through a season where you weren't sure? You mean you went through a season when it all went dark and you were in the middle of a dark night? In the middle of the dark night, God comes with another dream? Oh, so this dark night will end, right? This is not the end. God hasn't forgotten me. The dream was real. Yes. But you only find that out if you give it your best shot and you position yourself and get near people that can teach you how to persevere, how to pull it all apart, how to interpret the dream on a daily basis, not just on a forever basis, not on a 30-year basis, but on the next 6 months, the next 12 months. What do I need to do now? What do I need to do now to get to my dream? If you're watching at Rosberg, what do you need to do now to get to the next step of your dream? Lean in. This is that season where God wants to take you off the bank and propel you down the river of destiny. You have to give it your best shot. And you need to understand that when you position yourself and you get close and you lean in, it's amazing to watch what God does with your life. I've watched this so many times now, having been around and now the Ancient of Days. I've seen this happen over decades. And it's always the same pattern. It always happens the same way. In fact, I was reading an article the other day about businesses that they call gazelles. And it was talking about these businesses like Apple and so on. And they said, you know, after 25 years, Apple, as prolific and as epic as it is today, I think it was by 2001, something like that, after 25 years, they had 9,000 employees. And in the last 15 years, it's grown to 150,000 employees. But the first 25 years, even though 9,000 seems a lot, they went through and named all these companies. They said, it's companies that are 25 years old, but still plugging and pushing and moving forward, that are in this category. They said, they're old souls, but they're still on the cutting edge. They've been around for a while, but they're moving forward anyway. Right? And they said, then there's this epic move forward. It's a bit like what's been happening at Influencers, where we've gone from 4 campuses just 2 years ago now to 10 campuses with the launch of the Hills campus this Sunday night, right? How awesome is that? And it's just the beginning. And I'm here to tell you, if we hold steady and we'll push in, and every one of us will become part of it, don't just cheer from the sidelines and go, oh, that's great, Pastor Josh. That's great, Pastor Ashley and Jane. That's great, Pastor Steve. No, I'm part of it. You're part of it. Remember, God's dream is always about His family. So He wants you to get a dream about the family you're in, right? And not just sit as a fan on the sidelines, but become a family member. Go from fan to family member by getting a dream for the family. And then you watch what happens in the next couple of years. Maybe we'll be at 20 campuses. And it's not about reaching that. It's about the people that we're going to reach. But just imagine if when we're at 20 campuses, now suddenly there are 400 people getting saved every Sunday between the 20 campuses. You know, imagine when we're at 204,000 or 5,000 people every week are giving their lives to Christ across those campuses. You see, things don't happen in a moment. It's not like the Cross Lotto. It's not like it just happens overnight. It's an overnight success that took 25 or 30 years to get there. That's how dreams are made, nurtured and raised. Remember, the baby was a dream, but it's the adult that's the goal. Many people are excited about the baby, but disappointed with the adult. Just in life. Oh, gee, he was a great kid as a baby. Virginia Monster, now at 29. Wow, he was such a cute kid, but where did he go wrong? Who's ever seen school photos of kids you grew up with? If you're kind of my age, you're like, really? My goodness. You took the wrong turn. And it looks like you went round a roundabout, and you've kept going around that roundabout. Nothing's changed. Here's the thing, right? So it's about understanding God works over decades. He doesn't just work over minutes. So you've got to give it your best shot. The second thing is you have to hang in there. It's kind of related to the first point, but you have to hang in there. And I was just driving recently and I thought to myself, how did we get here? Seriously, how did we get here? How did we get here? I think I was driving in Atlanta at 140 kilometers an hour, and that's just a normal speed limit, just so you know. And don't get jealous because you're at 40. But the point is, we'll stay with Jesus now. Okay, so, and I'm driving, and I'm thinking, how did I get here? How did this happen? When we're talking this week and having coffee, Pastor Steve and Philip and Pastor Josh and myself down at Nest Cafe, I'm thinking to myself, how do we get here? Think about it. Just 2 years ago, there's only 4 campuses. Now there's 10. That means there's 10 campus pastors. Pastor Arnold and Anika were campus number 9 in Roswell. Now we're under campus number 10 with Pastor Steve leading the charge with Pastor Dave Begley. It's going to be an amazing, amazing campus, right? Come on, everybody. And I was thinking to myself, how did I get here? And the Holy Spirit, with all the sophistication that I hear His voice, said, you just hung in there. You hung in there. You just kept turning up. You just kept turning up. And I just want to say to you, if you're going to get stuck on the bank, you are going to get stuck on the bank, but you're just going to keep on turning up. You know, if you've ever watched football and you're watching the finals and any match, you can see the underdog team that are losing and it's all about momentum. But as they claw their way back, suddenly the ball seems to fall their way. It suddenly seems to go their way. The umpire suddenly seems to give them the free kicks. But the quarter before, they were not getting them, but somehow they got themselves back in the game. We've all heard that. How did the team get themselves back in the game? Well, the question is this: how do you get yourself back in the game? How do you get it? Well, someone had a pep talk with those players at quarter time or half time and started to draw out of them the best, and started to remind them of the dream, started to remind them of what they did to get here. So come on, boys, let's get out there. Let's just go for it again. Let's not give up. Let's come on. Come on, these guys over here, we need to do this whole deal again, and we need to go hard again. It's about hanging in there and turning up. And if you just do that with a heart towards God and an understanding that the Father of the dream will protect the dream, so get one dream from Him, not a dream from some fantasy novel or for some TV show, but get it from God, whose dreams will always come true because He gives to us the desires of our heart. You have to hang in there. I remember talking to one of our staff in Atlanta, and I just said, listen, you've got to understand this, that the main goal, the central factor in making your decision, she was about to make a decision with her children, and I said, you know what, you need to keep the goal as the central factor. Let's go back to what that is. The dream is the central factor. We've got to keep that there, and if we do, all the other things will move out of their way in the time that God has designed for it, because God is working on things behind the scenes that you don't even know about, and He's getting it all orchestrated for you to walk into if you'll just hang in there. Think of Joseph, think of Jacob, think of Daniel, think of all the people that you read about in the Bible. They're not there by accident. They're to tell you, just hang in there. Not just hang in there like by the skin of your teeth, but hang in there. In other words, I'm going to go hard again. I'm going to get up and run again. I'm going to engage again. I'm going to allow myself to be pulled off the bank. I'm not going to spin my wheels anymore. I'm going to move forward. It's time to get that dream going in our life. The band can come on up right now. And I want to finish with this story. And an elderly man who's in the last days of his life was lying in bed alone, and he awakens to see a large group of people clustered around his bed, and their faces are loving, but they're so sad. He's only got hours to live, and he sees these people around the bed, and so he smiles weakly and whispers to them, "You guys, you must be my childhood friends come to say goodbye. I'm so grateful that you've come to say goodbye." Moving closer, the tallest figure gently grasps the old man's hands and replies, "Yes, we're your best and we're your oldest friends. But long ago, you deserted us, rejected us, and abandoned us." So confused, the old man asks and said, "What do you mean? Who are you?" The guys paused for a moment and they said, "We're the unfulfilled promises of your youth. We're the unrealized hopes, dreams, and plans that you once felt deeply in your heart but never pursued for long enough. We're the unique talents that you never worked on or refined, the special gifts that you never discovered. Old friend, we have not come to comfort you. We have come to die with you." And every time I read that story, and you may have read that story, it reminds me, I can't abandon the dreams. I can't abandon the call. I can't abandon what God wants for my life. I can't abandon my family and hope for them. I can't abandon my fight for what God has for my life. I can't abandon those things, because it's going to come a day when I can't fight for them any longer. And they'll just die with me. And I believe the Holy Spirit's here tonight to get some of us off the bank that have been stuck. And He wants to pour into you something powerful and incredible, a new motivation, a new mobilization. Maybe you've been hibernation because it's been cold, and now spring has come. And if you're at Roswell, of course, the fall is just about to hit us after summer. But wherever you are, it's time to make sure your dreams don't die with you. That the dreams are able to live on past you because you understood that He's the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, which means He's the God of generational legacy. You see, my greatest desire is that when I go, what's left behind will continue on. That my dreams wouldn't die with me, but they would live on past me. But in order for that to happen, you've got to do some stuff. You've got to hang in there. You've got to get off that bank. You've got to shift some weight to the back of the boat. You've got to get me pulled off that bank, whatever it is. God wants to do it for you today. And I just want us to close our eyes for a moment, because I just know there are people here and in Roswell that you're stuck on the bank. Maybe the dream seems like it's died. And God's saying, no, it's only ever dead when you are. It's time to resurrect that dream. It's time for a new dream to be put into your life. Maybe it was a dream for a season, but it's time to re-dream again. It's time to dream again. It's time to have those dreams live in your life again. And if you're here tonight, or you're watching at Roswell today, I just know that God wants to speak to you, wants to do something in your life. And you say to me, Ashley, as you're talking directly to me. You are talking about me. This is not a moment of shame. This is a moment of engagement where I say, okay, God, I'm going to take up the bat and I'm going to run. I'm going to make these next 5 years count. I'm going to make these next 2 years count. I'm going to go for it. I'm going to do some stuff, learn some more, study some more, lean in, whatever I need to do. It's not over. You see, God comes to a Moses when he's an older man and says to him, come on, dream again. Dream again. He comes to us in decades of our lives and says, come on, will you dream again?
We hope that this message has blessed you. For more information about Influencers Church, go to influencers.church.